All right, we're going to go back. I told you last week. We're going to go back. Anyway, I talked to Brother James. He's going to try his best to be here Sunday. He said he started trying to get here tonight, and he just didn't have the stamina to do it. So he's been recuperating from all that surgery. So anyway, pray for him, continue, him and Betty. But Lord willing, he'll be here Sunday. All right. Now, I said we're going to go back through the three pastoral epistles, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus. And the reason I'm going to go through them is because if they truly are pastoral epistles, and they are, primarily addressing the young pastor, Timothy and Titus. And so what is taught to them would be taught to every other pastor. And they were to set the example for everybody else to follow. And that's the same thing is true for us today. So I thought it might help if we just go through, and we'll do it, try to get it all done tonight, as much of it though. Everybody know what a verb is? You kids know what a verb is? All right. A verb is an action word. Okay, it's an action word. All right, a noun is a name of person, place, or thing. You know, all right. So, verb means doing something, some activity, and so that's what I wanted to do, was to go through here and pick out what's going on. All right, 1 Timothy, the first chapter. Of course, he says, Paul, an apostle, verse 1, verse 2, unto Timothy. And then verse 3, he says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So here's a new word, an action word, charge. That almost is a command. And he says elsewhere, do it with authority. So a preacher of God or pastor is supposed to charge with the word of God. Charge others to teach the truth is what he's saying. Verse 4, neither give heed to fables and genealogies and all of that. So there is an action word. It's the pastor supposed to do that. I'll tell you, you listen the way a whole lot of people do nowadays. They won't tolerate a pastor doing that. But they need to, and the pastors need to do it, and they need not get some backbone and do it. Now look over verse 18, chapter 1. Again, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. So twice we've got charge. Now we've got warfare. You're in a war.
Amen.
Well, oh, we're supposed to just be kind and good and loving and never just, butter wouldn't even melt in your mouth. That's not what Paul charged that young Timothy with. Paul, when he finished up, he said, I fought a good battle, a war. I finished it, finished my course. So at 118, he said, war, a good warfare. Well, we have to fight the battle the way God told us to.
Amen.
But nonetheless, fighting the battle. You think we're not fighting a battle now? Anyway, the next one, verse 19, holding faith. And that's the faith, holding the doctrines, holding them. Don't let them go. I can name you preacher after preacher that's let them go. They haven't held on to them. So that's what the pastor's supposed to do. Pastor doesn't do that, he's not a fit pastor. And next, and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. So holding faith and holding a good conscience. How do you hold a good conscience? By being honest in your holding of the faith. So that's the kind of man that's supposed to be a pastor. All right? Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all. So Paul exhorts Timothy to exhort in all of these things. Supplication is concentrated prayer. And then prayers, and then intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So there's your next one, supplications and prayers. All right, that's pastor's supposed to be a man of prayer. All right, our next one is chapter 3 and verse 15. Behaving in the house of God. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So, he can't just do anything in the house of God. Nor is he to lead in just anything. Well, you look at what these churches are doing. They're doing anything and everything. And have no regard of what the scriptures teach. But he said that you must behave yourself in the house of God, and you must lead others to behave themselves in the house of God. So there's verse 15. Then in chapter 4, in verse 6, he says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things. All of these things he's talking about. Put the brethren in remembrance of them. You can't just say it one time. This is a continual ministry, a continual charge that you put the brethren in remembrance of all of these things that we're talking about. He said, then you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Then verse 7. Refuse profane. Now, profane is unspiritual. Profane and old wives' fables. So, refusing all semblances of heresies. How does heresy, false doctrine, get into a church? Well, the pastor is supposed to be very vigilant in watching for this and teaching others to watch for it. A lot of folks don't like this, but that's the way God says to do it. Amen. And then in verse 7, the second part of it, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Well, we're talking about exercise. And exercise is good for a while. But the exercise that God's men are supposed to do is exercising godliness. And we're to set the example for everybody else to exercise themselves in godliness. Living godly.
Amen.
Doing the things that are godly. Let me see where I've gotten. 11, verse 11. He says, now these things command and teach. Now, does it look like that Paul thinks a pastor should have a little authority? I think absolutely he does. And so these things command and teach. Well, now, we've got a whole bunch of people today that are in churches that have no regard about the scriptures, none whatsoever. They went to John MacArthur talking about the reasons that people pick a church. They got good parking, got good programs for the kids. Huh? A nursery. Yeah, and a nursery. A paid nursery where they don't have to put up with the kids. Those are some of the top reasons that many people. And then they want good music program. And so all of that, we'll never compete with any of them. Because we don't have all that stuff. And we're not going to have it. Anyway, so these things command and teach. As I told some brethren before, being at a conference and some of them out of the pulpit talking about, well, y'all brag on these little churches, said big churches is where it is. I said, oh buddy, if you ever preach anything, you won't have that congregation. And I mean what I'm saying. If they ever preach any doctrinal truth, they won't have those congregations. But they kowtow to them and deny God's word. But Paul said, command and teach these things, what he's talking about. All right, then in verse 12. Now let no man despise thy youth. Well, we talk about that word despise. That doesn't mean hate, means to look down on. Don't let anybody discount your youth. And here's how you do that. Be thou an example of the believers. That's for every young man, every young pastor, and even old pastor. Be thou an example of the believers. So far, what have we had? The duties for the pastor. Commanding, teaching, putting them in remembrance, being an example, praying, charging. Yeah. Then in verse 13, give attendance. If you give attendance to church, that means you're here when it's underway. That's very simple, but that's true. If you give attendance to reading, you're reading. If you give attendance to exhortation, you're exhorting. If you give attendance to doctrine, you're laboring in the doctrines. That's what it means to give attendance to these things. Do it. Need to read, especially the Word of God. Need to be exhorting, that is encouraging others to follow along and to do the things. And then to doctrine, to teaching. I have been railed at through my ministry because I preach so much doctrine. And you know, I've never lost a minute's sleep over that. That somebody doesn't like me teaching doctrine. I never have. Said, well, some people won't like you. I expect people not to like me. Jesus said, beware when all men speak well of you. But I do expect the people that love the Lord, love his word, and love the doctrines, that they'll love me. So I never have thought, I never have broke my arm, patting myself on the back saying, I can pastor everybody, because I can't. I've known that from a long time back. I can't pastor everybody, because everybody's not going to sit still for my preaching. That's right. This is the way it is. Now, give attendance to reading and to exhortation, to the doctrines. Now, verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now, how would a called preacher neglect the gift that is in him? By not preaching. By not exercising the ministry God's given him. Pastors to do that. So, well, you preach a drop of a hat. Should be. Should do it. Absolutely. Verse 14. Well, that's one we just got. 15. Meditate. You know, there's a thing called transcendental meditation, which is rank, rank heresy. And we don't need that. But we do need to meditate on the Word of God. That is, we read it, and then we meditate on it. That's why I'm not really a fan of these programs, read through the Bible in 3 months, because I'm afraid you just read through it. And you're not necessarily understanding what you're reading. I'd rather for you to read it, and then, well, just like the Psalms. The Psalms, most of them have a Selah in the verse or at the end of the verse. What that means, it's a rest. It's a musical rest. Stop and reflect on what you've just read. And I think that's a wise practice for the whole Bible. Stop and rest and reflect on what you have just read. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly. Now that's W-H, not H-O. Wholly, completely to them. That is to reading, to doctrine, meditation. Give thyself wholly to them. I have been ridiculed through my ministry. When I was gone, I've even had men stand in this pulpit and talk about some preachers have too much education. Have not. I've had other preachers say, you study too much. Did he say give yourself wholly to these things? Yeah. He sure does. He sure does. And so that's what he's saying. Then, in verse 16, take heed unto thyself. That's the first one we need to take heed to. We like to take heed to everybody else, but what we really need to do is start off taking heed to thyself. That's what every preacher ought to do, every pastor, every church member ought to do, is take heed unto ourselves. What is it that we're doing? Are we growing in grace and knowledge? Can you say that I know more about the scriptures than I did this time last year? Kids, can you say that? Can all of us? Can we say that we have profited and learned? And that's what the pastor should be doing. And he's to be setting the example for all the rest of us. Can anybody say that this church does not concentrate on the preached word, the taught word? Do we do that? Amen. We certainly do. Everything about our church, everything that we do, is designed to teach the Word of God. Now, we can't teach it if you don't learn it. We can't do it. People say, well, I never heard that. Brother Walker used to go up north back in the 40s and 50s. He had what they called hay fever. I guess, I don't know, what was it, allergies, asthma? I don't know what called it, hay fever. I've never heard it called that in a long time, but that's what he had, hay fever, and this ragweed got him. Well, somebody had a camp up on one of the lakes up in northern Michigan, and they let him use that every summer. He'd go up there for a couple of weeks to get away from this ragweed. And on his way up or back, he would always stop by 12 Ryan Baptist Church in Detroit, Michigan. That's where Hatford Overby was, and they were friends. he'd have Hafford down to preach in his conference, and he'd stop by there, and Brother Obie would have Brother Walker to preach. And so one Sunday morning, Brother Obie told us, Brother Walker preached one of his favorite sermons, was on the scapegoat. And he was a good preacher. He'd hold your attention. He was good. Well, they were back shaking hands, and this faithful member of 12 Ryan, Brother Oldbridge Church, Brother Walker, that was just a wonderful message. That's the first time I've ever heard that. And Brother Oldbridge just got done with the whole series on the offerings. It hadn't been a month since he preached on the scapegoat. She said, that's the first time I ever heard it. Well, it might have been the first time she ever heard it. She tuned him out. Her pastor, she tuned him out when he preached on it. We ought not to do that. We ought to have our ears open to the Word of God. I've looked through some of my old yearbooks from the college. Had one out here the other day. When you can get a, there's several pictures there of me in the chapel, sitting in the congregation. If it was anything open on the front seat, that's where I was. If I wasn't on the front seat, it's just because there wasn't anything open when I got there. But I always sat there on the front seat. Any class I was ever in, Brother Brong's, anybody else's, I sat on the front row. I sat right in front of the teacher's desk. And do you know why? Because I wanted to hear what the professor said. I didn't want to hear that bunch behind me. I wasn't there to listen to what they thought. I'm there to listen to what the professor says. And that professor's going to give me my test. Amen. And I'm working round the clock. I haven't got time to do all that digging and homework that it would require if you don't listen to the professor. But the more I could get in class, the less I had to do out of class. I'm listening. When I went to church, one of the worst sessions I was ever in was in North Carolina. We went down to that conference, and the only place we got was on the back row. I couldn't hear anyway. And the preacher, and when he would emphasize, he'd whisper. He said, I talk like this, and then I whisper like this. I couldn't hear him when he was talking at his loudest. I heard not one word he said. I couldn't even read his lips as so far back. My Bible says, call out! Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show my people Israel their sin. Well, I've been accused of being a loud preacher. Well, I am. I have to admit that I am. But I've never had anybody say they couldn't hear me. Anyway, so I'm on verse, take heed thyself and unto the doctrine. Verse 16, B. Yeah, that's what it is, yeah. Continue in them. That's an action word, isn't it? Continue, yeah. Continue. Don't be looking around for something new. You hear all these preachers, I mean, like that Andy Stanley. He come this, now boy, he says, we're the ones that's all messed up. It's the homosexuals that are straight. Did you hear him say that? I heard him say that. Absolutely. He's looking for new doctrine, see? Get rid of the Old Testament. We're doing, no. Paul said continue in them. Continue in the doctrines. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. All right, then chapter 5 and verse 1. Now I just class this, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, the younger men as brethren, elder women as mothers, younger as sisters, honor widows. So I'd put this down. Proper respect for all classes. Know how to handle people. And that's what he tells him to do. You don't rebuke an elder. Now, that, I don't think he's talking about another preacher. I think he's talking about an older man. Of course, I don't have any older men here than me. But I'm an older man. But rebuke not an elder. Learn how to approach people. Just because you're a preacher doesn't mean you got a free rein. Just do what you want to do. We must do what the Lord says, and he gives us detailed instructions on how to do it. So then he says in verse 7, and these things give in charge that they may be blameless. Charge others to do the right thing. What things? Well, from verse 7 all the way through verse 20. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Let not a widow be taken, the younger widows, and so on. Let the elders that rule well, and all these things through verse 20. He says, do the right thing. Teach them to do the right thing. And then verse 21 of chapter 5. He says, do nothing by partiality, without preferring one before another. Oh boy, you get some problems there in pastors. They pick on the ones that's got the most money they favor. Do these things without partiality. It's true for everybody. I'm going to have to move on. Anyway, verse 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man. Keep clear of all entrapments. Don't let yourself get caught up in anything. Well, that's true for all of us. Book of Proverbs tells us not to be signing notes for other people. And there's all kinds of traps. He said the fear of man works a snare, works a trap. And here's a trap. He says laying hands suddenly on somebody, then you become partaker of their sins. So when you are involved in ordaining someone, keep thyself pure, he says. But that works for everything else too. Keep yourself clear of all entrapments. And then he says in verse chapter 6, and verse, where am I? Verse 1. Be not I think I'm in the wrong verse here. There's stuff to do there, but nothing particularly I wanted to point out. Verse 6. Am I in chapter 5? 6. Here I am. He says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, I'm kind of stretching a little bit there, but godliness with contentment. Not many people are content with much of anything. But a man of God, a child of God, ought to be content. And godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, certain we'd carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. And I know many pastors that didn't fit that, and they're looking for the money. Verse 11 of chapter 6. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. So we're to run from some things. All through here, Paul tells us, all of us, to flee. Flee youthful lust. Flee. Flee all these things. Run from them. Read the book of Proverbs. Follow wisdom and flee these things. You boys and girls, got your friends at school, and they'll bring up something that you know good and well is wrong. Get away from them. They're not your friends. Anybody that would get you involved in something that's against God, they're not your friends. Get away from them. They're not your friends. And you'll find out that they'll throw you under the bus as quick as they can. Anyway, flee these things. And here's the next one. Follow after righteousness and godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Those are all verbs. And then he says in verse 14, keep this commandment without spot. I give thee charge and keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus. Now, chapter 2 Timothy, chapter 1. Yeah, there's, be not thou ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words. Hold it fast. Don't let it go. Verse 8, did I get this? No, I'm not in verse 8 now. Chapter 2, verse 1. Huh?
You mentioned verse 8.
Okay. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong. So, well, how can I be strong? Be strong in the power of his might. And that's up to you to do that. And these things, he says, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The things that you've got, the doctrines that you've got, commit to others that are faithful that will teach others to be faithful. We've got a load on us that we must remain faithful to. And verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure? Well, it's rough. It's hard. He said, endure it. Was Paul qualified to tell you to endure something? Did Paul endure something? Yeah, he really did. He really did. And so he tells us to be strong and in our commit to faithful people and endure hardness as a good soldier. And then verse 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance. There we go again. Hey, I'm telling you this. I told this to you before 3 or 4 times. I'm telling you again, putting you in remembrance of these things. That's how the preaching and teaching must go.
Amen.
And then he says in verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So here's another big action word. Study to show thyself approved. Over in the book of Acts, chapter 6, there was a big problem in that church at Jerusalem. You had Greeks in there and you had Jews in there. And there's a bunch of widows. And they were trying to take care of the widows' needs. And the Greeks said they're not doing us as well as they are the Jews. So there's a faction there. Well, that's when they called them together and said, it's not meet, suitable, that we leave the word of God and serve tables. That's what they were doing. Now we're going to appoint some deacons over this, that they may take care of this secular work so that we may give ourselves to prayer, the study, and the ministry of the Word of God. Because you see, if the pastor is doing all his other stuff, who's taking care of his job? It's very important for the church that the pastor be studying. It's very important for the church that the pastor be reading. It's very important for the church that the pastor be praying, that he be doing all of these things and standing for the whole counsel of the Word of God, all of the doctrines for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. It's very important for the church. Most churches I know of, they think that all of that is secondary. If you've got time after doing everything else, you can have that, but everything else. When I first came here, you wouldn't believe what they expected out of me. Actually, what they thought they'd done, they'd hired a janitor and a groundskeeper. That's what they thought. Because all the pastors before me, that's what they did. I said, I'm not too good to do anything. I can probably do it better than most of you can. But that's not what I'm called here to do. I did it for a while. I worked myself to death. I was even in the homes helping kids with their homework. I mean, they had me doing everything. Wanted me to paint for them and do everything else. How am I going to get everything done from a church? I had to quit it. And it was like pulling hen's teeth to get them out of it. But I did this for them too. You haven't heard anything about a pastor doing that kind of thing, have you? What we've read so far. Not one thing. And I'm trying to point out everything. Trying not to miss anything. And anyway, verse 22. Flee also youthful lust. There's another flee. Get away from these things. Follow righteousness. There's another one. Follow righteousness. Faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions, avoid. There's another one. Knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. And that's for their benefit. Let's see, I got verse 24. Chapter 3 and verse 14. Here we go again. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Continue thou in the things. That's twice he said that. Then we move to chapter 4. Verse 2, preach the word. He didn't say preach something else. He said preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. That's what's to come out of your mouth, the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach the word. Verse 5. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. All of these verbs. Watch thou in all things. Are you supposed to notice everything? Yeah. Do the work of an evangelist. Didn't say call in an evangelist. So do the work of an evangelist. What is an evangelist? A gospelizer. And we tried to do that through the years. Make full proof of your ministry. All right? In verse, where am I? Yeah, he said, I'm ready to be offered now. That's where that finishes up. Now, go to the book of Titus. Here he tells Titus in verse 5, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldst set in order the things that are wanting or lacking. Here he's got Titus settling problems in churches. He's supposed to be that much of a man of God that he can do it. And he's supposed to do it. And he says, ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. So this is all the Lord's work. And you know, we haven't had much of this in the last few years. But we have an ordination here. We ordain a preacher. Every church member ought to be here. Our covenant says that we will support the services of this church. Now, let me tell you, of course, I'm preaching the wrong ones here. But on Sunday morning, we have Sunday school. Now, if it's at all possible, you need to be here for Sunday school. Amen?
Amen.
We have morning service. Be here for that. The Lord's day does not end when the morning service ends. We have another service. He said, well, I decided I'm just going to come to one. Now, what chapter and verse did you get that from? Well, all right, so we're going to have the Lord's Supper. Well, I won't be there for that. Why? What else is more important than the Lord's Supper? Or we're going to have a baptism. What else is more important than baptism? The church covenant says we'll support the work of this church. And that's the work of this church. If we're going to ordain a preacher or a deacon, you don't have the choice of whether to come or not. Before God, you're obligated to be here. Amen? That's not just me carrying on. Verse 13. He says, wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Rebuking those that need it. You see a pastor that if everybody, especially those outside of the church, they all just love him, you better believe he's never preached anything that would contradict him or done anything that would cross him. Because there's no way that you can have a ministry that honors the Lord and his word and not ever cross anybody. Because it's going to. And then chapter 2, he says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That doesn't mean they're going to grow into that. Become means to enhance sound doctrine. Speak thou the things that enhance sound doctrine. And verse 7, and all things showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So these things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Not hit and miss, a pattern of good works. And then in verse 9, exhorting servants to be obedient unto their own masters. Those are slaves. But I'll tell you this. They're not slaves. People work for a living. But I'll tell you what, church members ought to be the best workers their boss has. To honor the Lord in that. And that's what we need to preach that too. And then in verse 15, he says, speak these things, speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. So there you go again. Speak, rebuke, and exhort with all authority. Then chapter 3, verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities. There you go again. Put them in mind to be subject. And then verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will, or I desire that thou affirm constantly. So Brother Gum, you've said that before. Constantly. Affirm constantly, put them in mind constantly. And then verse 9, avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. And then a man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, he's to set the example and lead in the discipline of the church. He can't do it, but he's to lead in it. He's to teach it. He's to set the example and lead in it. Well, that was hurried up. But now if you want to, let's kind of just reminisce here. Would you say that the large majority of the action words to the pastor in those three epistles has to do with preaching, teaching, holding fast constantly, and then with praying, supplications, rebuking, reproving, and exhorting with all long suffering and doctrine, and studying to show yourself approved? There's the work of the pastor. And you know what? Before I came here, and I had some of it right here when I came here, some Southern Baptist churches talking about me coming there. They said, well, preacher, here's what the thing said. The main thing we're concerned about, we want a pastor that'll visit, that'll go out and bring them in. I said, what about preaching? Oh, that's all right. We don't care about that. But yeah. Oh, yeah. That was deacons. Oh, absolutely. I'll tell you where it was, too. And I've heard it from more than one. The least concern is about the preaching and the teaching. And they show it by what they're doing. Anyway, that's what a pastor does. But he's supposed to set the example.